All right, are we ready for God's Word this morning? Let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke chapter 23, please. The Gospel of Luke chapter 23. And we're going to continue along the same lines that we have been on for the last couple of weeks on Alpha and Omega. Let me just, while you're turning in your Bible, let me just kind of give us a quick review. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, Jesus said, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. Now, often we have, I know for sure the way I've heard it or the way I have interpreted that verse is Jesus is my Alpha, he who began a good work in you. And at some point, Jesus will be my Omega. He will complete that work. But that's not what that verse says. He says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. Now, we've said that life is full of beginnings and endings, right? A lot of beginnings are good. Some beginnings are not so good. How many of y'all love those success stories of where there was a bad beginning, but there was a great ending, right? Isn't that the story of redemption? And so, and sometimes, you know, there are good endings. Sometimes, often, there could be some bad endings. Marriages go through a divorce. Some marriages go through divorce. You know, some people lose a loved one prematurely, to death, to tragedy, to whatever. There are bad endings in this life. And we said, I can't reteach the whole thing, guys, but I'll just kind of brush up. We said that Satan is a usurper, and he'll try to sit in our bad endings. Now, what does that look like? Have you ever seen people have a bad ending in some fashion or sort of, or the other in their lives? And you see that their life from that point on spirals negatively, spirals downwardly. I believe that, you know, how many of y'all know that Satan is real? The devil is real. Jesus addressed him like a real entity. And he will try to destroy people's lives with those bad endings. But Jesus still stands, listen carefully, as our Alpha and our Omega. We must let Jesus sit in those bad endings, because when we do, when we turn to Jesus with that woundedness, when we turn to Jesus with that confusion, when we turn to Jesus with that bewilderment and shock and sorrow, how many of y'all know that is real? When we turn to him with that deep negative emotion and we allow him to sit in that bad ending, Jesus will in effect give us a new Alpha moment. A new good beginning, right? And we said that Jesus determines the end from the beginning, right? That he has willed for us a good end. These are the thoughts I have toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you, not to harm you. Good thoughts, not to do you evil, to give you a hope. And the King James Version says this, an expected end. And expected end. So from the time, listen, before there were ever any human beings on the planet, before God ever created Adam and Eve, you were on his mind. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says that he purposed, gave us purpose and a calling. He saved us and calling according to his purpose and his grace before time began. Isn't that kind of a mind-blowing reality? Whoa. What did God tell Jeremiah the prophet? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I have set you apart and I have called you to be a prophet. How many of y'all know that Jesus was way interested in your life and had a hand on your life before you were a gleam in your father's eye? Who's thankful for that? So anything that happens from the time I'm born to the time I die, how many of y'all know that God's purpose that he determined in the very beginning, the end of my life, that he determined that he said would be good and not evil, not to harm me, to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future and expected end, that was decreed from before time began, still stands no matter what happens from the time I'm born to the time I die. Amen. He'll sit as our Omega. Good teaching, Reverend. Now I've gone to fishing. So now let's talk about how to let go of the past. How many of y'all know that if you're going to go with Jesus to a new beginning in your life, a good beginning in your life, you got to let go of your past? I'll say it the way T.D. Jakes says it. You cannot let your history keep you from going to your destiny. Good stuff, huh? You cannot let your history... Well, Pastor Joe, you don't know what I did in 1976 with Susie Q. We were at a drive-in theater, and because the kids are here, I think I'll stop. How many of y'all are thankful we keep it real? Yes. Right? We want to let go of our history, church family. No matter if it's good or bad, God, how we could have had a great history, a great past. How many of y'all believe that your future is still better than what you've had this far? You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the light, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It only shines brighter and brighter unto the full day. Amen. Can any of us beat heaven? We can't beat heaven, can we? I mean, is there any existence outside of heaven that's better than heaven? No. So we have that to look forward to. No matter what's happened in our past, Jesus can still affect an alpha moment in our lives, okay? But we want to emphasize this morning that we need to let go of the past. Okay, let me just tell you that this morning, just very right up front, I felt like Miss Robin was teaching my message in Sunday school class. The only way, church family, that we will let go of our past, especially, excuse me, when there have been wounds, when we had an abuser, when we had a toxic person in our lives, perhaps we were related to them. Perhaps they were people in our lives that should have been watching over us and taking care of us, but didn't. And they themselves were pretty jacked up. And so they, out of their toxicity, their toxic lifestyle, toxic behavior, out of their own personal demons, abused us in one form or fashion. How many of y'all know that verbal abuse is still as damaging than physical abuse? Probably more so, because bruises heal, wounds heal, but sometimes emotional and spiritual wounds do not heal that quickly. Right? I love my amen corner. Thank you. Keep it up. You get a free lollipop, darling. So, listen to me. The thing that we must embrace to go from a bad ending to an alpha moment with Jesus, we must embrace forgiveness. We must embrace forgiveness. Now, I understand the way forgiveness has been taught in church life, not by everybody. There are a lot of really good ministers. Charlie is a great teacher of the word that present the truth faithfully, that present it the way it needs to be presented. But how many of y'all know that there are some churches that have the wackiest ideas about stuff, not the least of which is forgiveness? And their thought of forgiveness is, oh, you just forgive your abuser. Just keep putting yourself in the same position to let your abuser abuse you. That's true forgiveness. I'm a Texan and I won't say what came to my mind. I'll just say it this way. Bologna sandwiches. So listen, my family. We run across these wacky ideas that forgiveness is just letting the person that harmed you to continue to let them to harm you. And that's not the case. Or how about this one? Who's ever heard this one? If you really forgive, you won't have to work through any negative feelings. I've heard that one many times. You have, Brother Joe, you don't understand forgiveness. If you really, really, really love the Lord, and if you really love your enemies, you would not feel any rancor, you would not feel any remorse, you would not feel any negative feelings towards the person who wronged you. How many of y'all know that's bunk? Right? Is that an appropriate word to use here in the fellowship of the semi-saved preacher? Is that all right, church family? Now listen to me. I'm going to drop a heavy revy on you, okay? Forgiveness is a journey. The deeper the wound done to you, the longer that journey is going to take. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Forgiveness is a journey. The deeper the wound done to us, the longer that journey is going to take. Who's ever heard of the word resentment? I brought it up a little bit ago. You know what resentment really literally means when you break that word down into Latin? To feel again. Who's ever had resentment in your life? Okay, let me ask a different question. Who wants the opportunity to repent for lying a little bit ago right now? You. You feel again the same way you felt when you were first done wrong. That's resentment. And how many of us know that if we don't deal with it appropriately with resentment, that we can become prisoners to that resentment? And we will be a prisoner to the person who offended us, who abused us, who spoke wrong words about us. You know, I have a half-sister, and I love her to pieces now. I've forgiven her. You know, when you're young, you say some of the dumbest things. And she said, spoke words over my life before I was a Christian. And that to my early adulthood, even when I was a father with kids and a husband, those words still impacted my self-esteem. Isn't that amazing? How many of y'all believe that words are powerful? And it took me years to work through the forgiveness. Listen carefully, church family. That journey of forgiveness took me a long time. I couldn't just get over it in 5 minutes. I couldn't just say, well, pray for me. Okay, I feel better already. No. Forgiveness is a journey. The deeper the wound's done to you, the longer that journey is going to take. Just make sure that Jesus is along with you. Come on, somebody. On that journey. Right? And sometimes another little sacred cow that some churches have. Gosh, it seems like I'm on the warpath this morning, doesn't it? Is that time heals all wounds. Are you kidding me? Who really believes that time heals all wounds? If that was so, there wouldn't be unforgiveness present in our existence, would there? There wouldn't be rancor. There wouldn't be hatred. If time healed all wounds. I have found that with some people, time only makes things worse. So, listen, Jesus with time can heal all wounds. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Jesus models forgiveness beautifully to us. How many of y'all know that you and I, as believers, as children of God, that we have been forgiven of all of our sins?
Amen.
Even Susie Q back in 76, right? At the drive-in theater. there was some foreign communication, Roman hands and Russian fingers. All that stuff has been forgiven the moment we accepted Christ as Lord. Did he just forgive us of the sins that we had in our past? Did he just forgive us of the sins we had in our past? No, not just. Did he forgive us of the sins we had in our present? Did he forgive us of all the sins we would ever commit? Back in Texas, Craig and Ethan, you can attest to this. Texas, this is yes, this is no, right? I don't know what it is in Illinois, but in Texas, this means yes. How many sins had you committed at the time that Jesus died? There's debate whether it was 31 AD, 33 AD, whatever. How many sins had you committed? And Jesus forgave you of those sins, right? All the sin debt for all of humanity was paid in full, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. All right, so when you accepted Christ, of how many sins did he forgive you? All that you would ever commit, right? Right? Okay, so now listen to this. I say all that to say this. God commands us to forgive because we have already been forgiven of all of our sins.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Ooh, I like this. I'm glad you're paying attention, sweetheart. Thank you. And so listen, my friends, a lot of people quote that Matthew 6 verse, and it's important for me to quote at this point. You know, understand this. When Jesus said that if we do not forgive men their trespasses, then our Heavenly Father will not forgive us our trespasses. Please understand that that was spoken at a time under law, not under grace. Because after grace was in effect, you know, Jesus said in Romans 10:4, or Paul the Apostle said, that God, that Christ is the end, the fulfillment of all the law. Right? And so after that, you don't know, you no longer hear, God will only forgive you if you forgive others. It'll say, because God forgave you of all your sins, then forgive others. See, the order has been reversed. Let's just teach the word, church family, the way it needs to be taught. Amen?
Amen?
Let's not put people under bondage because we're still living under old covenant mentality. Right? So listen, let's see an example. Did you find Luke 23? By the way, I haven't forgotten. Luke 23. Jesus is our model for forgiveness. This is, we're talking about letting go of the past, okay? Let's begin reading with verse 32. Luke 23, verse 32. There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided their garments and cast lots. Okay, let's stop there. What was Jesus' prayer? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, let me ask you a question, not a trick question, but I want you to answer honestly. Did at that point, were those people forgiven in the eyes of God of what they did? Yes or no? Ah, we had to bring our thinking caps to church this morning. Were they forgiven? You would say yes. All right? You don't want a lifeline? You don't want to make a phone a friend or something? Okay, there's no $1 million, but I just want to make sure. Who all would agree with Connie that means yes? Okay, some. Who says no? Thank you, Charlie. I know, he's not selling you up a river, sweetheart. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Okay, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the question is, does that mean that the people who crucified Jesus, were they off the hook? All right, I'm going to prove it to you scripturally. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Beginning with verse 22. This is Peter speaking, okay? He says, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the people, many of whom were there when they crucified the Lord. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have done what and put to death? Have crucified and put to death. What's Peter telling these people? You are the guilty party, right? You crucified the Lord. Didn't he say that? He said, you are guilty of his death. Yes or no, church family? It's not a trick question. Yes, he's saying you did it. Go down with me to verse 37. Peter continues preaching. They're convicted in their souls. The Holy Spirit is working on their hearts. Notice, now when they, the crowd, heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent Oh, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the NIV say for the forgiveness of sins? So let me ask you that question. Now that you see those two scriptures back to back, were those people forgiven when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? No. But the thief, the criminal, yes. Yes, one of them did. But what about the people that crucified?
No.
Even though Jesus prayed, listen, I'm getting to a point. Even though Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that was to let God know that Jesus had no ill will in his spirit. We're going to get back to that. But when Peter says, you crucified him, and they're convicted, and they said, what must we do now? What do you want us to do? He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. So they still had to do something for them to be forgiven, right? Jesus' basic words was not an exoneration of their guilt of having crucified the Lord. Why do we say that? Listen, church family, I don't know why when it comes to forgiveness, we have the idea that forgiveness is between me, God, and my offender. No. Me forgiving my offender is only a one-way street, me toward God. Listen to me. Why is that important? Because when you drag the offender into the picture, then some of us might have the wrong idea that we still have to be in communication with. And some of y'all know that some people you don't want to be in communication with that harmed us, wronged us, or hurt us badly. Right? We don't have to be reconciled with our offender. I'll say it the way Lewis Meads once said it in one of the most powerful books I've ever read, The Art of Forgiveness. He said, we do our forgiving alone by ourselves in the presence of God. Whether our offender knows about it or not, that doesn't matter. We don't have to tell our offender that we forgive them. We don't have to say anything to our offender. Come on, somebody. Thank you. This is decent stuff, right? Everybody's just like quiet. Who's ever seen a dog with a new dog dish? You don't know whether to run to eat or... Listen, just because I forgive my offender does not mean they are off the hook with God, are they? Jesus forgave the people crucifying him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus did his forgiving alone between him and God. He didn't say to all these people, hey guys, hey you guys down there, I forgive you. No, he was talking to whom? Father, forgive them. To God. But did that mean that those guys that crucified him, that they weren't accountable still to God for their sin? They still had to repent. They still had to be baptized in Christ. They still had to receive forgiveness from God. Do you see that? Is that clear? Now, let me finish with this, church family. Listen, I know when we talk about forgiveness, we talk about a huge subject. And I'm trying to help you through this message to be free, to free you up, to take your time to forgive. How can we do that, knowing that God has already forgiven us of all of our sins, and we no longer live under the threat of the old covenant that if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. The promise of the new covenant is forgive because you're already forgiven. Can I close with a story? I just like to make it real. When I turned 30, I started having now what it was back in retrospect, it was reflux. If anybody's ever had reflux, you know that it simulates angina. It almost comes across like heart pain, chest pains, tightness in your chest, difficulty breathing. And I assumed, I've learned not to be a doctor myself. I just go to the clinic, go to your doctor, let him be the doctor. Don't you think, well, I need some more liver pills. Sorry, I don't go that route. So I went to my general practitioner. He referred me to a cardiologist. And I remember the day when I was in the office and the cardiologist put his stethoscope on my chest. His stethoscope was not on my chest for 2 seconds and immediately pulled it away. He said, oh, you've got mitral valve prolapse. I thought, first I was a little shocked because I thought, wow, that was quick. That was a pretty quick gavel for him to determine in 2 seconds that I have a certain heart condition. Well, you know, as a young man, my youngest, Gabby, was only 5 years old. And here I am. I've got a young family. How am I going to provide for them? You know, this is going to be a crippling disease. And I asked him a barrage of questions. He seemed to just brush me off. And so prescribed all these medications, expensive medications. And I remember taking those medications. You know what those medications did after about a couple weeks' time? It caused my heart to have arrhythmia. It would not beat properly. It would skip beats and it would scare me and then all this and that. And I remember just taking it to God and praying and said, Lord, you got to help me find resolve in this situation because this is very difficult. And then I remember I was, because I was obviously a pastor at that time, and there was a church member that was whose husband was having surgery, older couple. And so I sat with the lady and we were just talking, and out of the clear blue she says, and I know the doctor's name, Dr. Kevorkian, I mean Kaczynski, sorry. How many of y'all remember Kevorkian? Yeah. Kiki, do you remember Kevorkian? Sorry, for the young couple, the young company here, he was a doctor of death that instituted suicide by desire, right? If a patient wanted to be killed, he would just inject them and boom. So that was him. So anyway, so Dr. Kaczynski, she brought up Dr. Kaczynski and she said this without me having said anything about my personal issues with the heart and the heart skipping. She said, I don't like Dr. Kaczynski because he's always diagnosing people with an MVP, a mitral valve prolapse. When I heard that, you can imagine the fury. I was much younger and prone to anger then. I just felt the anger rising, and I started thinking, how dare he do that to me? And so I was really, listen, I've got to be honest with you, I had to forgive that man. And let me tell you, it was very, very difficult for me, a young man at 30 with a young family, to forgive that man. I had to work through a lot of emotion because I thought, man, I had to have his license. I started looking for names as an attorney. I did. I've got to be honest with you. And then finally I said, you know, Joe, you got to let it go. You've got to let this go. It did not take a week. It did not take a couple weeks to let it go. Even after I went to my GP and I said, look, man, this is what this cardiologist that you referred me to, I said, what he did. And he said, well, here, let me check with my stethoscope. And he said, you know, Joe, I don't diagnose any MVP. You don't have any mitral valve prolapse. I said, good. You can take me off all these medicines because I'm not buying them anymore. I'm not taking them anymore. It didn't take but a week's time for my heart to start beating regularly. Don't you think I was really having to work through forgiveness? But I did by the grace of God. Listen, to let go of our past, we've got to forgive. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful people, this wonderful church. Lord, I bless everyone present. I thank you for your love for them in the name of Jesus.